whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We're standing by for Jerry Jones. It's our weekly visit with Jerry. It's typically going to be Fridays at 10:30. Today, it's going to be at 10 o'clock, and we're more than happy to change our schedule around for the owner and general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. And boy, he was shining like a superstar yesterday during that Zeke press conference.
Yeah, it was really fun to see. And there's a lot of questions to ask Jerry based on that stuff, looking ahead, stuff looking back at yesterday. I'm sure he wants to talk about what happened last night at the Star with, you know, the Cowboys providing the facility for El Paso and the community of Plano to come together like they did. So it's a great day to have Jerry on as we head into the new NFL season, and expectations for the Cowboys are through the frickin' roof.
Through the roof, and the NFL is officially here. Last night we had Packers and Bears, and it wasn't necessarily an exciting game. Would have much rather had an explosive offense, maybe a Super Bowl rematch, maybe a little Dallas Cowboys action to get things going, but they chose to go with a historic rivalry that bored us all to death. But still, the NFL is such a monster that the ratings were phenomenal.
Yeah, you know, and Ben, it kind of played out like the Super Bowl, which was a very uneventful game. The really probably the most interesting thing is they decided to dress like it was the Prohibition era. There were some really questionable dress choices going on there. They played up the whole 100 years ago, here's what the United States looked like bit, and that was kind of funny. But we talked about this last week. I have a lot of respect for that Bears defense. I don't know if that Bears offense is any good. And so is there was any myriad of power rankings, preseason power rankings out there that had the Bears higher? And I realized they had a good little playoff run last year and all that, but that looked like a really inept offense last night in Chicago. I mean, that was what they were rolling out on their home field and their home opener. Long season, long way to go. They can work some things out. That did not look like a team that's going to put up much points this year.
No, it did not. But both teams were bad. And so it makes you wonder, okay, are these just two good defenses? Everybody expects Chicago's defense to be good.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers made big additions to their defense with Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, and Adrian Amos. All three of those guys came up huge. Za'Darius Smith with a sack, a tackle for a loss, and 6 pressures. Preston Smith with 3 pressures, 1.5 sacks in the second half alone, and a sack on the final play. And then Adrian Amos with a massive interception with under 2 minutes to go. So, hey, that was a situation where the Packers invested in their defense, and we're seeing early dividends.
Yeah, and I think it's also hard to tell. Like, so early, I know Trubisky was getting booed, but it's like, okay, well, the Packers' defense could be better than we thought they would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you take a look at, you know, the Packers and their offense and how bad they looked. Well, they had a rookie head coach calling plays, and he was not calling plays quickly, and the Bears were jumping snap with 1 second left every time. And Aaron Rodgers didn't play a snap in the preseason. So there's still a little bit of rust factor there as well. I think those are two playoff caliber teams.
Yeah.
But I think the one takeaway I'd say is watching that, the Cowboys are probably better than both of those teams.
I think the Cowboys are better than both of those teams, certainly on paper. Aaron Rodgers fell on the sword last night for the new head coach in terms of what you're talking about not getting the plays called in quick enough. The first two drives for Green Bay were immediate third and tens backed up and then sacks. And then he had the big play, kind of broke it open. But they just reached – we'll talk about it later, Ben, because joining us now is our good buddy Jerry Jones.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Jones. How you doing today?
Well, great to be on with you guys. And, boy, here we go, man.
Here,
New York Giants, line it up.
Here we go for sure. And we got a lot we want to talk to you about in a short amount of time. So I want to dive in. You know, the other day you were at the New York Stock Exchange ringing the bell, and you know, it was at the same time you got Zeke done, and his deal ends up being overall 8 years, over $100 million in total. Well, you were there celebrating a $2.2 billion deal. Comstock acquired Covey Park Energy, and I read where it doubled the stock in one day and made you $100 million in one day. So did you essentially pay for Zeke in one day?
Well, of course, nothing says it's got to stay at that price. The stock, of course, goes up, but the bottom line is that it really was fun to be announcing Zeke when we drove up to the stock exchange. You know, that was the epicenter of 9/11, and oh my goodness, security's so strict there. And the first thing that happened when the guy opened the door about 8:30 when I got there was, did you have to do it to us right before you played us? And it was a great thing, made even really special by the fact that we had signed Zeke, and you could, and we didn't let them not have a little confusion over whether we're there ringing the bell for Zeke or ringing the bell for the Comstock purchase. But at the end of the day, I joked yesterday, I was up there on Wall Street trying to get my financing in order so that I could handle these guys.
Well, Jerry, we always enjoy, because you're very forthright on all these classic stories, and you've been involved in a lot of player negotiations. But from the outside looking in, it felt like this one may have gotten a little more personal than you guys probably anticipated. Is that an accurate description of how the way these negotiations went?
Well, when you say a little more personal, I don't know that it's any more personal with Zeke than it was for Lawrence or it is for any player. This is life-changing and really can be if everybody would be prudent with how we and they do their financing. But that's another story. But it is life-changing. And it is sensitive. We all are sensitive about money matters. It gets sensitive between family members, between friends. It's the nature of that. And challenge is to make this thing work out. You know you're not saying something to somebody you think a lot of, or you wouldn't be sitting there usually negotiating with them to begin with. You know you're not saying things that are music to their ears. And so how you do that, how you handle that, some of my greatest moments were in these negotiations. Michael Irvin, it just was so special to be around Michael. I don't have but 1,000 stories about him, but we were there. He was doing his own deal. His agent just was not a factor, and we were sitting there side by side with each other, and he put a number there, and of course, we had our number. I had my number, and I said, Michael, when he put his out there, I said, Michael, there's an old West Texas town. It's called El Paso. So on that number, El Paso. He broke out laughing. I broke out laughing. He said, give me the damn contract, and just signed it right there and said, let's get going and play some football. I can't handle you.
That's so great. We're talking to Jerry Jones.
A lot of sensitive things in a highly, understandably so, sensitive time.
No doubt. We're talking to the great Jerry Jones on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. But Mr. Jones, this $2.2 billion deal is no surprise. What you've done for the Cowboys in your career, what you've done for the NFL, it's not hyperbole to say you could be one of the greatest deal makers of our entire generation. So that said, it's hard for us to understand how you were on the sideline during such an important negotiation. And I don't mean not involved. I mean, I heard in the press conference that you guys weren't talking during the negotiation, and I would want you to be involved in that. So why weren't you involved in talking to Zeke? Was that by design because you love him so much you might cave, or was that by – I mean, what's the plan there?
No, a lot of ways to communicate, a lot of ways to talk. I have a favorite saying when I'm talking with somebody that's special to me and they're silent. I say, you're talking to me and I know it and I'm listening to what you're saying. It's your eyes. It's the way you're touching, you're doing your shoulders. We're talking, baby. So let's understand that. I get the message. So I really believe people communicate without necessarily vocalizing. And so we were communicating. Zeke was communicating. I know him. I'm one of the things that we're comfortable with, and I'll say this from my end, and I know it mirrors it. We are not uncomfortable with each other. And so you earn some of that ability to study body languages, send message with anecdotes. That seems like I got Michael over on my mind this morning, but you know, he's not only one of the greatest personalities, he's who you want in the dark alley with you if you happen to get in the wrong part of town. And when he starts up, you'll hear him laughing as he's getting with it, because he laughs when he's scared. Huh. people have different ways of communicating.
That's all really, really interesting. And I think it's really pertinent here too, Jerry, because of the way we perceive, you know, your love for Zeke. And obviously you guys have been through a lot. And you mentioned it when you said, I've earned the right to joke. And there was so much talk about the Zeke who comment, and, you know, some people blew it out of proportion or whatever. But it led to that moment at the end of the press conference where he talked about his new jersey. My question is, how long had that been in the works? Did Zeke know about that until he actually saw it? How did all that come together with the shirt?
No, Zeke didn't know anything about that. But frankly, if you really interpret Zeke who, you really are, and you know what I'm saying, that's who. And that's it. That's just it. Zeke who? The message is clear. He's special. You say that about somebody that hadn't been heard of and is not special, and it's real. I don't know who you're talking about. That's not real when you say it that way of somebody that's noted.
So as we look at the pie, and we've had a lot of pie references, and there's only a certain amount of pie to go around, the salary cap, and you had a couple guys come in and get deals done before Zeke with Lyle Collins and Jalen Smith, and now Dak and Amari are still out there as well as some other players. Are you intending to, or do you expect to go through this season with Dak still playing on his rookie contract?
Well, again, we're not going to talk about the details of anybody's contract here, and we don't do that, so I'm not trying to just give a stiff service to Dak. But the facts are that there is a pie. And there is a limit in any institution or any individual. There is just a limit. And I can give you examples of when we got the limit. We've had two seasons where we had to cut our practice squad in half. That's your guys that make a minimum salary to be a part of the team. They practice. We've had to cut that in half because we didn't have enough room under the cap. It goes under the cap. We had to let DeMarcus Ware out of here because we couldn't pay him. We were out of cap room. He went over to Denver and with Wade won a Super Bowl. So it's real. There's a real pie here, and as the pieces go out. Now, do you plan on that happening with what you've got out in front of you and with what your expectations are that you'll be paying? No, you manage that. You plan on it. But if anyone gets out of kilter to a significant degree, it disrupts the plan. And then you've gotten too much pie out of the pan to get the rest of the job done.
Is it safe to say that Zeke got a little more pie than you guys initially thought, or did it work out the way you wanted?
Let's don't get into how we thought or where we were going to get there. But okay. The bottom line is, based upon where we are, we should be able to get our job done. And I really never planned to have a whole bunch left over.
Okay, now that's great. So then let's move to this. What is your favorite kind of pie, and where is it on your dessert rankings?
I don't know. Are you really serious talking about
pie? Absolutely. Yeah, I want to hear what you like.
Well, unfortunately, I like too much of several of them. But I'd quickly here this morning say coconut. And when it's done the way that a lot of people around me do. I have a wonderful friend that she sends over a couple of pies about every quarter, and it's usually a chocolate pie and it's a coconut pie. And I have to absolutely tie myself in at night to keep them going down the middle of the night and getting in that.
Yes, Jerry, we love hearing you talk about those things, hot dogs, you name it, anything at all. But I also loved hearing you talk about sports betting and how it could increase the value of the NFL's television deal, or maybe you can explain this, how it could increase the value of by 50%. What exactly were you saying there?
We're talking about value as it relates to television. Speaks to the numbers of people that are watching and then how long they're watching. To some degree, how intent they are to not leave the screen. The NFL is so fortunate. We culminate, our interest in football culminates in the fourth quarter of the year. That's when the majority of the interest is to get the buyer in front of the TV set. That's Thanksgiving. That's Christmas. So our sport is so fortunate. When I first bought the Cowboys, I had the head of ABC and ESPN, Dan Burke, tell me, I don't believe you guys can screw this up, owners. And I hadn't become an owner yet. But he said, you're right where the money is, serious money is, in television, the NFL football. Secondly, your game was built with no intrusive stops, but it stops a lot. We can shoot messages at that time, so we can do so much more communicating than any other sport. But listen to this one. Now, this is almost 30 years ago. He said, the biggest thing you got is, I don't care if it's in season out. I don't care if it's in the game or out of the game. It is a soap opera 100% of the time, year-round. We can't do without it on television. It just stays out there, and you're continually promoting it with all of the antics of everybody involved. It's television goldmine. So that when you add gaming, and gaming increases the intensity, increases the interest. Boy, they're hanging on every word that Romo's out there saying, talking about how the safety's lined up too far past the hash mark. He can't get over and cover the corner. Those nuances. Romo would be a card counter. They wouldn't allow him to get in a vision as I see gaming in football, and I'm teasing, just like they don't allow card counters in Las Vegas. But the bottom line is our game with gaming already has. We have tremendous interest in NFL because of gaming, fantasy football, those areas. So it will enhance dramatically and grow enhancing, probably more dramatic than from the time I've been in NFL football, just because it's going to increase the interest, intensity, numbers of eyeballs on the TV set.
How far away are we, Jerry, from really all the restrictions being gone? And you can make in-game bets at kiosks in the stadium or right there on your phone as it's going down, and it's all legal no matter where you are in the United States. How close are we to that?
Well, I've got a lot of faith in the system being the United States and our economic system. And you can put a stone or boulder in the creek, and the water will figure out a way to get around it. And so the whole point, and I'm talking about above board, nothing clandestine, nothing cute, but the system will, our system, our economic system, the interest, the power of all of that, it's like water. It will just find its way, and it's powerful. And so I wouldn't dare get into detail of all the nuances, the state regulations, how it's going to be handled by the different leagues, teams, all of that. But it will certainly be very impactful to sports, and certainly the NFL, which has the greatest viewing audience there is. It will be impactful financially as well as increasing the interest. The key to the NFL, frankly, is the fact that our games have always, always will be, as long as the group that I'm involved with are involved in it. It will always be really primarily done on free television. Free. Not ESPN, not those subscriptions. It'll be done on free. And the fact that it's free promotes it. And it makes all those other niche areas, I'll call them, other ways of looking at the game possible.
That's a great business model. I watched the Fortnite video game explode in that same model. Hey, it's free. Come play it. And now they're making a ton of money. Jerry, before we let you go, and we're talking to the great Jerry Jones, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. We love that you're a Tolo. We love that you listen to 105.3 The Fan. And every once in a while, you'll call in and spontaneously. We won't be expecting it, and we love that. I've heard you call in one time when Fish was giving your medical report that was, you're like, Fish, do you know something I don't know? And you're like trying to close the window, and you dunked on Fish. That was awesome.
We love that.
We heard you, you know, you called in and dunked on Bassick one time when he was talking about you not caring about winning. And then last week you called in and you talked to the G-Bag Nation, and you were talking about, they were talking about not caring about winning or something, to paraphrase. But it seems like the only things that will draw you offsides, nothing will. And not even offsides, but the only thing that will make you go get that quarterback if someone questions how much you want to win. Is that accurate?
Well, that is fair, and it even adds to it. Now, I know a lot of people would identify this. If you don't, you will. It bothers me a little bit when they imply it's because of my age, and I'm smiling when I say that. Now, I know with the opposite sex, that is a no-no. You will be sent home when you start talking about age. And that's the same thing here. I do get a little sensitive when they say, well, is the fire still burning, alluding to the fact of age. And so I apologize for being a little more sensitive about that than I used to be. But certainly, I say this, I don't know that any time in my life that I've ever had so many appointments, so much to do, and so much on my plate. I don't know when I've been any more aggressive financially. So whatever's happening is good, and it works that way in several other things I do, man.
Well, we certainly love having you on the radio show, and we love having you on all the shows, and we love having you call into the station. So you don't have to be offended to call in. If you just want to join the conversation anytime, you call the hotline, all right?
Well, you just start talking about my age, and you'll get a call.
Sweet.
Hey, awesome, Jerry. Congrats on an awesome off season, and good luck to you on Sunday.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
bye.
There he goes, Jerry Jones.
Wow.
Fun, man.
That is always so much fun.
I enjoy that.
Coming up next, we'll react to that. We've got a Jerry post-game show. We got to talk about that. We'll get back into Packers, Bears, but a lot to digest there. We'll get into it next on the Ben and Skin Show, live from the Eagles Nest in Fort Worth on 105.3 The Fan.
Jerry Jones was incredible. We had some great reactions on the AutoFlex Leasing Fantex.
I like that.
877-881-1053. This guy said, you can put a stone or a boulder in the creek and the water will find a way to get around it. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm writing these Jerry-isms down. We always love the Jerry interview, and today was especially good. There's so many different angles we can get into, but I think we're all talking there during the break. I think our favorite part was the pie talk. Not Jerry saying we, and he did say this, that they have enough pie left financially to do the things they want to do.
I do have many apple pies.
Hold on, Ben. But I think when he started getting into the idea that, man, if he's got some coconut or chocolate pie down the hall, you got to tie him down or he's going to wander down the hall and get into that.
I love that. And what's funny is you asked him that, and I actually had that written down as a question. What is the best pie? I wanted him to power rank the pies too. And he was totally shocked by the question. I was like, wait, Jerry, we love listening to you talk about things beyond football and business, like talking about hot dogs. That's
right.
One of my favorite things ever, listening to him talk about what they eat at Thanksgiving or telling stories about lessons he learned from his dad. And you know what I really wanted to know? I was super curious about why he wasn't talking to Zeke and why he wasn't involved. And I consider myself to be a relationship salesperson. The easiest person to sell is a salesperson. Jerry is a relationship salesperson. What that means is you develop relationship over time. It's not about, hey, I got the sale, I took their money, I move on down the road, see you later. It's you develop long-term relationships of trust, and you do business with the same people over a long time. To me, that's my favorite type of sales. It's a real friendship, a real relationship where both sides are helping each other. And so Jerry's the best at that. That's not hyperbole. I mean, he's in the discussion for the greatest deal makers any of us will ever see with our own eyeballs while we're alive on the planet. If he's not in that discussion, it's a bad discussion. I'm not saying he automatically is number one, but he deserves to be at the table for that discussion.
But I want to say something to your point. Look at how loyal they are with the people that they do business with, which exactly what you're talking about, the Fords and all those people. They've been doing it for so many years, and they got those relationships.
Massive amounts of loyalty. And so what I was trying to figure out is, since a salesperson's the easiest one to sell, and ultimately Jerry has the most power, was he purposely kept out of those deals because he loves Zeke so much? Or I don't think that's the case. I'm just wondering, because if it was me and they're like, Ben, go negotiate with Zeke, I'd be like, dude, I love watching you play football. Here, take whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You know, but Jerry didn't do that with Michael. He didn't do that with Troy. He didn't do that with Emmett. But I was curious. It just really stood out to me and surprised me that Jerry wasn't talking to Zeke during this.
Here's what I think is going on there, Ben, and this is speculation, and it is. But I think that, you know, he said at the very end there, he's got more appointments and more to do, and he's more aggressive financially than he's ever been. And I think that is underscored by the fact that the Zeke deal was not done yet, and they were up in New York to ring that bell and make $100 million on one day or whatever. And so when you have as much going on as Jerry does, you have to be able to delegate some of the most important things to competent people. And I think at this point in the arc, you know, if you go back to the time period where Jerry is doing deals with Michael Irvin and Emmett Smith, Steven is a younger guy. He's not, he's probably in his late 20s, early 30s. and hasn't risen to the status he has yet. At this point in the Jones empire, Jerry's got so much going on, delegating that stuff to Steven and Steven's crew and really just keeping Jerry in the loop and him having to be involved when he absolutely has to be involved. He has to do that to do all of these things that he's doing because Steven has turned into the guy in that regard.
Right. The other thing I really enjoyed was him talking about calling into the station because those things are really great. And you know, he called in when Fish was questioning his age, which that really is the tie-in. I didn't even think about that because Fish was basically saying, hey, they got to go for it now. Or he was saying that...
It was like one of those, let's face it, Jerry's not going to be here in 10 years type thing.
There was a mortality spin to it.
It was a mortality spin. It was like, hey, I think he said something that, hey, Jerry might not be here to pay these tabs or whatever, or something like that.
Yes, that was
it. And Jerry called in and was like, do you know something I don't know? Have you been talking to my doctors? What the hell is that?
I'm really not working right.
And then obviously with the Bassick thing was which is a common fan perception that he cares more about business than winning or something like that.
He doesn't care about winning.
And then Dawson, I didn't know exactly what it was. I loved their exchange. You know exactly why he called in?
I think Dawson was kind of hitting on the fact that the fire may not still be burning for him because of a combination of the age and all the success he's had.
Sure. Which is something that a lot of people feel. And when Jerry calls in, it's never. I don't think he's specifically trying to take Fish or Dawson or Bassick to task. I think he realized those guys are representing an opinion that other people may feel.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, here's an opportunity to nip this in the bud.
Right.
But, you know, several different owners of sports organizations have thin skin and get really upset if you start talking about certain things. Jerry doesn't. You know, Jerry will sit there all day. I mean, he allows DallasCowboys.com to be highly critical of his own team.
Right.
It's not like it's just a marketing weapon.
Right.
It's journalism.
It's not PR.
It's not PR. It's not marketing. It's actual journalism. And he allows it even if they're critical. But the one thing that will draw his ire and get him to pick up the phone and call in is if you question if his fire is burning at his age.
Yeah.
And with the way he said it, he said, I know with the opposite sex, that's a no-no. You'll be sent home when you start talking about age.
I mean,
sent home?
That's very Mad Men-ish.
So great.
But you know what's really funny about that too, Ben, is he apologized for being so sensitive on that. And I'm sitting there listening to that going, man, you don't owe any apologies. You're about as open as anybody in your position gets. And you listen to a lot of crap being talked about you by us, and you don't freak out over it. So I think you've got more than enough latitude to when, you know, the ire is raised a little bit for you to voice your discontent. You are more than fair in that regard.
Yeah. And, I tweeted this out. Hey, if you don't love Jerry, then I honestly don't understand you. So, you know, the response is interesting. Some people are a little bit, upset, you know. It's like, whatever. Like Adam Morris, a baseball guy, says he ran the best coach the team ever had out of town on the heels of back-to-back Super Bowls and has seen the team become irrelevant under his stewardship in the past 2+ decades, and he dropped an F-bomb towards Jerry. And so,
Sir!
And I realize a lot of Cowboy fans feel that way. But again, as we've said time and time again, even Adam Morris, who's upset about something that happened when Jimmy and Jerry parted ways a million years ago, and Cowboy fans are disgruntled with the way things have gone. I get it. Go have one beer with Jerry Jones.
Adam Morris isn't doing that.
Have one conversation with Jerry Jones. You will leave that conversation loving that man.
And it's okay, dude. This is the whole point of the earlier part of the conversation. Jerry should be criticized. In a league of parity, they haven't been to a conference championship game in a long time. That is open to criticism. And him and Steven will come on the air and talk about that.
Yep.
But your point is not your point is about the person and the personality of the person.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, dude, I haven't watched a single Cowboy game since he fired Tom Landry, so I can speak on this, but it's okay to be mad about the performance of the team, but that's not a reflection of the personality of the person. And by the way, Jimmy Johnson was very complicit in that parting of the ways, too.
Right.
Because he was completely unwilling to give Jerry any credit, and it was about his ego as well. And by the way, go take a look at Jimmy's last game in the NFL. The Dolphins got beat by 750 points, and then he took his ass to the islands.
Miami wins the game.
Let's not act like that maybe Jimmy's fire was burning like it was burning before. He didn't really like the heat over there in Miami for too terribly long. And so you might want to go dig that whole thing up as you're doing the he's the greatest thing ever.
I also love listening to Jerry talk about Steven. There's no doubt about it. He has full power to do anything he wants. And Jerry's like, this is not – this is an extension of me. This is not like somebody else. He has full authority to make any decision he wants to make, whether I'm there or not. I don't need to sign off. I don't need to see it. We're family. Mm-hmm. I love listening to that. And I think they're in really good hands because I think Steven is super, super sharp. I have a lot of confidence in Will McClay. And I just – it's interesting. We've talked about this over the years. Jerry is still the decider. He's still the one who's in charge, but he's allowing other people to do their jobs. And the idea that he meddles, well, he wasn't even talking to Zeke at all. Right. I think that's fascinating.
He trusts him. One more quick thing. We didn't get a chance to get to it because we ran out of time and there's so much good stuff. But shout out to Frisco and the Cowboys and all the good people at the Star and everyone involved in making sure that Plano El Paso Eastwood game went down. I thought that was, in fact, they showed it on Channel 8 last night. That was really cool stuff.